Coming up on today's show.
It's funny, you know, when people go to different countries, they always want to see maybe different tourist attractions or different restaurants or shopping. And the first thing that I want to see is churches.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the weekly Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter. Look, too, at the top of the website for links to social media, meaning Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. And by the way, I hope you saw the new video that I posted on YouTube 3 weeks ago. It's called How You Can Help Catholic Sports Radio, where I'm talking about a list of different ways to help support my efforts and my being just a one-person operation. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests that is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And, of course, social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Student athletes might, albeit silently, carry an element of worry with them. They want to impress their coach. They want to earn the attention and respect of their teammates. This certainly also applies to an athlete who is a rookie, regardless of the sport or whether it's major or minor leagues. Quietly, they are nervous. Who's watching? How am I doing? Are the right people noticing? They want to gain notice so that they will be on the path towards a long, successful career and can continue what they have worked so hard at. Whether we recognize it or not, we too are following a similar path in our daily lives. While we strive to stay committed to our faith, we second guess if what we are doing is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. We are nervous, walking through the mystery, wondering if He truly is, in fact, watching over us. Thanks to a passage in the Old Testament, we can follow a path that will better point us towards Him. In Psalm 128, we read in verses 1 and 2, quote, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord and who walk in His ways. What your hands provide, you will enjoy. You will be blessed and prosper." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a trailblazing sports broadcaster, TV personality, author, and philanthropist. She is the first and only female NBA scout, holding the front office executive position with the Los Angeles Lakers. A former ballet dancer, she is the first woman to dance at a professional level for three teams in two sports, the NBA's Golden State Warriors and the NFL's San Francisco 49ers and Dallas Cowboys. She is the first woman to be awarded 6 championship rings in 2 professional sports, earning a Super Bowl ring and 5 NBA championship rings. In addition, she has competed in barrel racing and created her own rodeo drill and flag team. She is also the author of a brand new book called In a League of Her Own, Celebrating Female Firsts in Sports. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Bonnie Jill Laughlin.
Thanks, Bruce, for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I'm looking forward to this. I'm pretty sure that you are calling in from Dallas, but where are you from originally? Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Originally from San Francisco, born and raised in San Francisco and in the Bay Area. Little brother and mom and dad. That was it. Just us four.
Describe for us the presence of the Catholic faith when you were a young girl, as well as any Catholic education that you might have received.
Yes, absolutely. My dad is Irish Catholic, and then my mother is Spanish and Filipino. So both sides, a very strong Catholic faith upbringing, catechism. All my schools I went to were Catholic schools. So at a very young age, that was very important to my family and to myself and my brother as well. So St. Dominic's is where my parents were married, my grandparents were married, and where I was baptized and my brother was baptized.
Wow.
Yeah, and where we were confirmed. And it was pretty nostalgic that in San Francisco, their whole family of generations have been able to go through the St. Dominic's Church.
I'm going to hope that you're implying that the church is still there with, unfortunately, as
it
many.
Is.
Oh, great.
It is. It's beautiful. When I was living in San Francisco just recently, I was able to go to Mass there. It's just beautiful. And it's for me walking in there with the upbringing and my family, it just resonates so differently. It's a beautiful cathedral church, but just in itself, because of the tradition that we've had, it was really neat to be able to actually start to go to Mass every Sunday there.
Yeah, what a nice story. What a great way to start this off. Tell me, when did you first start participating in sports? What sports did you compete in? And who first got you into participating in sports?
Very young age, growing up in San Francisco Bay Area, my dad was a season ticket holder for the 49ers and the Giants and the Warriors. So I was going to games since I was little. And then I started playing sports, softball, running track, basketball. And then on the other side, off the field, it was, being a cheerleader and dance and so forth. So it's kind of like two different aspects of myself, Bruce, with the sports, the tomboy, and then also, the dancing and the ballerina and all of that as well. And that's how it kind of combined for me to become involved in sports, and being a cheerleader for the Warriors was my first professional sports team that I was with. And it was kind of the combination of my passion, which was dance and sports.
So sometimes on this show, we'll hear a guest that will come from a large Catholic family, and they'll have six older brothers and sisters, and they'll say they were all playing sports, so it was natural for me to follow them in. Did you just kind of immerse yourself into sports because of your dad's fanaticism, or did maybe your dad convince you, like, we ought to get you into softball or one of those sports?
Absolutely. I think I was always a daddy's girl, so I always wanted to spend time with my dad, and I was the tomboy. It was funny. My brother wasn't really into sports much, so I kind of was the boy in the family, if that makes any sense. And it wasn't even really forced. It was something I just loved, and I just had this passion for not only playing sports, but knowing about the sports industry. I mean, I was 3-4 years old asking my dad, like, where did these guys go to college? How fast did they run the 40?
Wow.
What, like, all the different positions. And, and there's my little brother who's asking for, the cotton candy and Cracker Jack and the foam finger. And I'm looking at learning how to, everything about the sport and writing things down and had the mitt, hoping I would catch a foul ball. And so it was pretty neat how it came about, because some people may think it was forced by my family, but it was very organic and something that I knew at a young age that I was going to be in sports and make that my career.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, you're doing a terrific job of showing the foundation of where your story evolves, because obviously you were very analytical. You were noticing all the different aspects, as you mentioned before, on and off the field, because you're at a 49ers game and you're watching what's going on the field. But then you're also going, now the cheerleaders, that looks interesting also. So you were clearly being observant and open to all the different opportunities around sport.
Absolutely. And to know, at that point, growing up, this was, the 80s, where you're, okay, there's not a lot of opportunities for women. So, okay, well, this is a way for me to be involved in sports. I'm already a professional dancer, at that point, and this is the way for me to get in to be a part of the sports teams that I love, is being a cheerleader. And I was grateful enough to be with the Warriors. And then my first year with the 49ers, we went to the Super Bowl. So I was like, oh, this is nice. I'm 18 years old and I'm cheering on the sidelines, cheering for Steve Young and Jerry Rice. This isn't too bad.
Wow. Wow. And then you attended the University of Texas, which, of course, is very well known athletically. I wonder if you participated in any sports there, but also from a faith perspective, how you did with your Catholic faith, whether it was, say, joining Fellowship of Christian Athletes, or like we've heard from other guests on the show, if it was, that unfortunately was a downtime for my faith life. I got caught up in the whole college lifestyle.
No, I actually am not a partier at all. So I didn't rush in the sorority at all. I was a cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys while I was going to school. So my whole focus was on my studies and being, ambassador for the Dallas Cowboys and performing on the sidelines for the cheerleaders and all the different appearances that we had to do. And all the community programs. And what was great about the Dallas Cowboys, which I love, Bruce, and I think this is probably slim to none on the other organizations, is that we prayed before every practice.
Wow.
We prayed before every game.
Wow.
And this is all of us. And we all would grab each other's pinkies and we would pray. And we'd say that Our Father. And, you know, the different, you know, faith bases, of course. There's
sure.
a lot of Christians. I would say there was only a couple of us that are Catholics. But in the same, we were still praying. And I really thought that was so special because coming from the 49ers and the Warriors, we never did that. So to me, it was so special that we prayed before every game, before every practice. And that was really something special to me that I was able to do that. While I was there in Dallas, I was at the St. Anne's Church that I was going to, where I would worship and go to Mass. But in itself, having my faith, which is so important, football and faith, you know, right there, you know, the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders locker room was pretty special.
Yeah, what a great story. Wow, I wasn't aware of that, and I'm glad that that came out the way that it did. As the audience can tell by the intro, plus we'll be hearing more about this, including when I ask you about your new book, you clearly carved out a path as a champion for female empowerment in sports. When did you feel the call to that vocation? Was there one significant occurrence that really laid that on your heart and brought you to the awareness that this is what I want to do, this is part of my purpose, or did it just evolve organically?
It was definitely when I was a scout for the Lakers. I was the only female and still the first and only female to scout in the NBA. And there was something where I wanted to be able to create a space where women could feel that they're are areas in sports that maybe aren't the normal sidelines, with, you know, whether it's a cheerleader, whether it's a reporter, that there are other areas in the sports world that are spaces for women, whether it's in the front office. You know, now you see professional athletes, you know, women that are actually performing in men's sports. And so there's all these ways that I was like, gosh, I really hope at some point there would have been someone that I could have looked up to when I was scouting, but there wasn't anyone. Instead, it was just me on my own, figuring out this navigating, I should say rather, this journey and trying to figure out, and of course, trial and error and, you know, a lot of blood, sweat and tears, so to speak, and being able to figure that out. And so then once I was with the Lakers for 13 years and, you know, we've obviously seen the progression of women in sports, I was like, wow, there is not one book that shows all the different women that have paved the way and that were pioneers. And of course, there's a lot of the women empowerment movement, but not like a book, you know. So I was like, I need to write this book. And so it's been, you know, about 3 years of me pitching this book to publishers and then finally got the publishing deal a year ago. And it was hard because they wanted me to do a tell-all book of like my experiences with the Niners and the Cowboys and Lakers. And that to me is not something with my integrity and my faith.
Yeah,
I would never do a tell-all book. I want something a lot more inspirational, aspirational, empowering, and positive. And so I said, no, no, no. And people kept saying, well, you're never going to get the book deal. Well, I kind of just, you know, God has a plan, right? So you have to be patient. And so I waited and I finally got a great publishing deal and I was able to tell the story that I wanted to.
Mm.
And that was the 19 chapters of women that have paved the way and were the pioneers for younger women to be able to look up to.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And God bless you, because obviously it would be easy to cave in to the offer, we want you to do a tell-all book, but I admire you for saying that's not productive and for sticking to wanting to put out something that's more inspirational that people can learn from instead of something that people could gossip from.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people told me, well, you're going to make a lot of money. It's not about that. For me, it's having an important positive message. It's not about money. Even with this book, people sometimes kind of think about the materialistic things and how, of course, we know we need to pay bills and so forth. But God will provide that as long as you stay on the right path and being
Amen.
Positive in that. And I felt like I was like, okay, it's going to take a while, but it's finally going to happen. And when it did, it organically happened. And I think I made the right choice, even though I probably would have made more money doing a tell-all. But for me and my career and my faith, I've never taken shortcuts, maybe sometimes longer, but it's more fulfilling. And I can look at myself in the mirror and know that I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm grateful to Bonnie Jill for making time to talk with me today. I'm grateful to all the guests who come on Catholic Sports Radio and share their story, their testimony, and hopefully help move one or more of you in the audience as it relates to your faith life. I do want to thank last week's guest, Bill Bomarito, who was kind enough to make a financial gift to my ministry. That by all means helps me with the ongoing expenses that I face on and off the air. But it also tells me that there's a belief in, that there's support for what I'm doing. There's acceptance, there's demand for the mix of faith and sports that I keep aiming to highlight for what is more than 5 years now. As you know, if you've been listening and or following on social media or reading the weekly e-newsletter, I was in Nashville for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention on February 22nd, just one day, because that registration alone was $350, not to mention my airfare, hotel, meals, etc. I always say each week that I don't get any income for doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. My hope is that the latter might change due to conversations that I had at the NRB convention with a good number of what I felt to be potential sponsors. So please pray that the Lord will bless my ministry with one or more of those companies coming on board in that way. In the meantime, as we continue through Lent and the emphasis on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, I ask you to prayerfully consider joining Bill Bomarito and supporting Catholic Sports Radio by, as he did, going on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, and utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button that you'll see there. It's fast and easy to do. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to agonize over. You simply decide what you're comfortable giving, type that amount into the spot that's going to start off with a dollar sign and a zero, and then hit the button to continue. And you'll see the option next to write a note, which I will see when it comes through, and then fill in the remaining fields, hit the Donate Now button, and you're done. I should mention that that will give you the option to use PayPal or a debit card or a credit card. Alternatively, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via the website or social media or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net and I will write you back with the relevant details. As you're hearing me do with Bill Bomarito, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes. Or if you wish, you can choose to remain anonymous, as some folks have directed me to do. I'm grateful for your considering supporting Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. Bonnie Jill, let's get further into your new book, which is called In a League of Her Own, Celebrating Female Firsts in Sports. While we all should want to live like Jesus did, clearly there are a lot of people who the Lord has gifted with talents that we can draw inspiration from, the likes of which you've included in this book. I would love if you could talk about why this book is so important right now, as well as how you selected the sports stars that are included in the book.
Yes, first of all, the way it was tough, Bruce, because I was trying to get so many different women from different walks of life that have experienced different experiences through the different sports. So it was like I was trying to get all these different dynamics. So I was able to get, 19 different women who have been on the ice, off the ice, on the field, off the court, in the front office, all the different women. Danica Patrick is the first female race car driver. So it was really nice to be able to get all these different females. And I thought it was just very timely with so much of what the women are doing, empowering little girls in the sports field. And I thought it was very important. It was something I want this to be in every library of different schools, colleges, everywhere, to be able to use this as a resource and to show the women that paved the way and what they did, what their formula was through family, through faith, all the different ways that they were able to stay on path. Because as we know, there's times where things can get, difficult, negative, and how you're able to rise from that and the adversity and continue on and the success that's there at the end. But, it's not easy. And so I kind of wanted to be able to show the work ethic and the different ways these women were able to be so successful in their craft.
Yeah, and I do love the timing of it because, quite frankly, it was probably overdue. And so hats off to you for recognizing that. And the more that we see female executives, like she's not with the Marlins anymore, but to have seen someone at that level with an MLB franchise, to see what Caitlin Clark is doing, the way that she's drawing attention to women's college basketball, to see Steph versus Sabrina, the three-point competition that just took place. It's wonderful. And I admire you because I know that you, maybe they didn't know it, but you had to quietly say no in terms of, well, these are some that I'd like to talk to because there's so many. You could do a volume two, a volume three, a volume four. But hats off to you for saying, well, I want to represent not only different sports, but as you mentioned, on the playing surface and in the boardroom.
Right. That was really important to me because I wanted the the younger generation, these women, to know, okay, it's not just having to be a professional athlete. You know, you can also be in the front office, you know, like Kim Ng, like you mentioned with the Marlins, and all the different women, the first, you know, Sarah Thomas, the first female referee in the NFL, that there are, you know, so many different areas for them. You know, I even included WWE star Trish Stratus. Mm. I included the first female jockey to win a Breeders' Cup, Julie Crone, the first female to be in a rodeo at the NFR, Martha Josey. So I really, wow. Bruce, made sure that I expanded not just to the mainstream sports, but all of them. And on Rayon, the first female to play in an NHL hockey game. So it was really important to not just have the, you know, the large iconic figures like Billie Jean King and Layla Ali and Danica, but also the women that maybe have been overshadowed because they're older now and people don't know maybe about the Mary Lou Retton's and the Nadia Comaneci and all the different ladies that don't know their story, but yet they're the ones that paved the way. So that was important to tell their story because their story hasn't been told. And if it's been told, it's been a long time.
Yeah, bravo, bravo. I mentioned drawing inspiration from people like those that you've highlighted in your book. But what do you hope others will take away after reading it?
I think it's, you know, inspiring, obviously, for the young ladies, but I think it's inspiring for anyone because I think they could see the work ethic that you put into something and the passion and the faith that you put into a craft and into your life, that you're able to achieve so much and to stay positive and to stay the course and to be, that things aren't going to happen. They're not going to be handed to you. You have to work through that and be patient. And all of those things, I think, that sometimes is missed by some of the younger generation, that they need to know the work that you have to put into something and that the rest will come. But just being very resilient and patient, like I said, and God has a plan for us. He's not going to give it to you right away. So I think that sometimes people need to remember that, you know, it took, like I said, it took so long for me to get this book published because I kept being told, do this, and which was to me negativity, something that I just didn't want to steer my direction in. And it finally came to fruition in what I exactly wanted, but it took a long time. So I think the message is just to stay on course, to stay patient, to pray, and to be, at the end of the day, resilient, and you will overcome.
Yeah, and I love that. As I mentioned before, there could be a volume 2, there could be a volume 3, there could be a volume 4, because if anyone thinks they're the first to go through this, they're not. Read the book and find out and then draw that inspiration and say, okay, so many others have broken through these barriers. I can as well. And audience, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Bonnie Jill's book so you can see more, including, of course, being able to order it. Bonnie Jill, as Christians, we are called to serve, and you are passionate about doing exactly that through a nonprofit that you founded called Hounds and Heroes and Horses. Can you share with us about that?
Yes, it's a nonprofit that I started in 2010, and I wanted to combine both of my passions, which was, obviously, I've been to Iraq and Afghanistan and all these different USO tours to go and visit our troops, but I saw when our men and women in uniform came back, there sometimes wasn't resources for them, and they were kind of left to deal with PTSD and TBI and these amputees. And so I wanted to be able to, you know, have something that could make a difference. So we rescue dogs, and then we train them as service and therapy dogs for the men and women that are dealing with struggles with stress and depression, which really is needed. And then we also do equine therapy retreats as well with horses that I've saved from slaughter and off the track. Mm. And we do it for disabled children and also combat veterans that are dealing with stress, depression, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, traumatic brain injuries, and all the different diseases that are really something that have affected our men and women that serve. And so I wanted to make a difference. And that's kind of my calling, because I feel at the end of the day, when God has placed me in a situation, that I am so grateful for what I have, and you're supposed to give back. I believe you're put on this earth to give back. That's been instilled with me since I was a really young girl, when my mom and dad would take us to the different Catholic retreats. We would go and help in Mexico to the third world countries. And it was always something that I was like, no, you have to give back if you're able to, you know, whether it's financially, whether it's boots on the ground, you have to do something. That's what you're called here to do, is to pay it forward. And that's how I do it, through my charity.
Wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. I do want to have a little fun here before we start to wind things down. I would love to hear about your having been the first female NBA scout. Did you feel the pressure to find that number one pick? And also, by the way, was the basketball department supportive?
Yes. You know, I was really lucky that I had some, you know, great colleagues that would really took me under their wing and really helped me. It was, you know, difficult because I was the only female. So not only was I trying to scout Bruce, you know, in the Pac-10, it was Pac-10 at the time. Now there's no, you know, Pac-12 or nothing. But at the time, it was Pac-10 and Big 12. And so I'm trying to scout as well as trying to feel comfortable in my own skin while I'm scouting, you know, being the only female. And I would dress in these big baggy clothes and sweats, and I'd put my hair up in a ball cap so no one could tell that I was a girl. You know, so all of that until I had, you know, one of the coaches, Brian Shaw, said to me, you know, hey, Bonnie Jill, I see what you're doing here, but you know your basketball. You're credible. You're knowledgeable. That will shine through. Be comfortable in who you are. You don't need to be trying to, you know, walk like, because I was trying to like walk like them with this, like, it was actually pretty funny, Bruce. I was trying to walk and talk like a guy and, just, you know, just so I could feel like I was one of the boys and be included. And then as time went on and as I got more secure in the role, I was able to be myself. And so that was really tough in the beginning, but, you know, it was all just part of the journey. I was able to find Jordan Farmar, who was ended up getting two rings with the Lakers, a big guard that Phil ended up loving and using him well in the triangle. And he was a local kid because he went to Taft High, which was in LA, and then he went to UCLA, and then he went to the Lakers. So he's one of those guys that has the perfect story where he ends up playing for the team that he grew up loving and staying in Los Angeles. And, you know, in the beginning, a lot of the scouts weren't sure about him fitting into the triangle, and I saw something in him, and it worked, and we drafted him, and then he ended up being with the Lakers and winning two rings.
Wow. Great story, as I anticipated it would be. I would love to close by having you share with us, you mentioned about your home church back in San Francisco, either about some beautiful churches that maybe you've seen during all your years of travel, and or maybe a heartwarming story that stands out to you from all that you've done in support of our troops, meaning 18 USO Goodwill tours, 6 visits to Iraq and Afghanistan, and 7 trips abroad.
Yes, I've been all over the world, whether it's been, with the USO tours or these different Goodwill tours, faith-based. I do a lot with Food for the Hungry, and so I'm able to go to the Dominican and to Haiti and be able to, you know, really spread the word there, because those are all Christian-based. I've been able to go. It's funny, you know, when people go to different countries, they always want to see maybe different tourist attractions or different restaurants or shopping. And the first thing that I want to see is churches. I always want to go and see the churches, especially when you're traveling in Europe. You want to see the different churches. And so when I've gone to Eastern Europe and all over Italy and all over, you name it, I always want to see the churches. And so that's what I have found, especially in Europe, the beautiful churches. Some of the most beautiful Catholic churches I saw were actually in Croatia. There are some beautiful churches in Croatia. I was just shocked how beautiful they were. And it's, you know, for me, that's where I love going. You know, New York, you always have to go to St. Patrick's, even though that is kind of an iconic, trendy place. It is, for me, I think things are a little more special when I see the Catholic churches because they're so historical. I don't like, you know, and this is just me personally, I like to worship in a church that has been there for a long time. Not to say there's something so special about the new churches, but when you see a history or you learn about a church and it's been there for so long, there's something a little more magical about it. You know, there's something about it. I know with a lot of Catholics, they'll say they like to praise and to worship in their own home. For me, I like to go to church. And so even when I'm on the road, I find the church, even if it's not close by, but a church that I can get to when I'm on the road and I go to. And for me, you know, it's a whole new different parishioners and different priests that you get to meet, a whole new different community. And
that's right.
That makes it pretty special.
Yeah, just tremendous. Just tremendous. Bonnie Jill, congratulations on the new book. God bless you. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, absolutely. And I will be making a donation as well.
Oh, thank you so much. And audience, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer. And of course, we'll pray it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.